I'll just share a little bit about myself before I dive into what the Lord has given me to share. I actually grew up around here most of my life. My dad, Steve Eckert's here today, and so I get to tell some stories about him maybe. But grew up around Greentown and so have a real heart for this area. I have a beautiful wife, Nadine. We've been married, this year will be our 18 years of marriage. We have 5 beautiful children. I have 4 daughters ranging from age 14 all the way down to 2. And in there I have a son who is 9 years old. So, and the Lord has been doing some amazing stuff in us. A part of my story will really just cover what's been going on mostly in 2016 that was birthed in us when I was 8 years old, was birthed in me. But the Lord began to really show me that it was time to do what I was called to do when I was 8. Just in 2015, it just became more alive to me. And so I have pastored for, I've been in ministry for about the last 18 years. Was with my dad on staff at a church he pastored up north in Wabash. And then after that, we went to pastor our first church. We pastored in Lebanon, here in Indiana. We were there for about 6.5 years. After that pastorate, we went to Edinburgh, pastored there the last 6.5 years. And had a great time while we were there in Edinburgh. Matter of fact, we began to see God do things that I had tried and tried and tried, and they never worked. Their things just seemed to work. We seemed to fit. It was a fit with us in that community. And so we saw the church really grow. The greatest thing we saw was a lot of people come to know Christ. We saw a huge amount of our growth was new converts and began to disciple them and had a great time. But it came to the point where when I first went there, I just was like, I'm just here. You know, I don't know how long I'll be here. It doesn't matter if I'm here a year, if I'm here 20 or 30 years. Lord, I'm just doing what you called me to do. Well, after 5.5, 6 years, I started to think, hey, this is going pretty good. I could just, it doesn't matter if you're somewhere long-term or short-term. You just have to do what God tells you to do. That's it. And so, I started to feel like, hey, this is great. I became very comfortable. I started to slide into a comfort zone of complacency. And it wasn't long after that the Holy Spirit just kind of woke me up and begin to burn in me a desire to take the gospel out and to take it everywhere that I could take it. When I was 8 years old, I remember I had a major anger issue early on when I was a kid, and I wasn't allowed to throw temper tantrums growing up. We had a belt for that, and or a wooden spoon, and if one of those wasn't available, well, once in a while it was the hand, right, on the backside. But I was never abused, but I thank the Lord that I was disciplined. And so I had a lot of rage and anger inside of me. And I remember one day my dad sat me down, and as a pastor, he preached from the pulpit all the time, but he lived it in front of us. He didn't preach at us all the time. He lived it. And I remember he sat me down with the word, and he just talked to me about my anger issues and the temper that I had. And I sat there acting like I wasn't listening to a word. My arms were crossed. I couldn't wait for him to leave the room. And he gave me a Bible that I would be able to read and understand. And he highlighted some spots. And he said, I want you to just pray about it yourself. The Lord will help you through this if you give it to him. We left the room and I just melted. I asked the Lord to truly come into my life. I said, Lord, take this from me. And I felt at 8 years old, I don't know any other way to say it other than a spirit of anger lift from me. I felt as though there was so much weight, so much anger inside of me, and it lifted. And I felt brand new at that moment. And I remember I just prayed, and I took my Bible, I laid it on my dresser, and I was praying. And when I had laid it on the dresser, I just laid it there, and it had opened up to another passage, and I went over, and I began to read it. And when I began to read it, the Lord told me, he said, that you will take the gospel, and you're going to take it out to many people. And that stayed with me from the time I was 8 years old, but I knew that God called me to preach out of high school. After refusing that and then surrendering to God's call, I launched out into ministry because the Lord told me to. And then he gave me such a desire for it. And I had settled with, okay, Lord, I knew you told me I would take the gospel out. But every time I would want to do that or move forward in that direction, I knew the Lord would say, no, this is not what I want you to do. And I would be pastoring, and every once in a while I'd get this itch, and I would think, I've got to go preach to more than this congregation. And so I'd do what I could and go wherever I could, but I just, it's always been a part of me. And so in 2015, the end of the year, the Lord told me that this is it. I want you to go out. And my wife could tell there was something going on in me. One night she said, "What is it that's going on?" And I said, "Well, I know the Lord's calling us to take the gospel out, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what's going to happen." And we talked about it over a period of time, and I prayed about it. And she said, "What is it? Why do you see this looking like?" And I said, I really believe that we're going to be resigning from where we are. And I said, "I don't know. Maybe we'll end up in the Kokomo area. Maybe we'll rent a home so we can be centrally located and take off from there." I said, I've had thoughts and of a motor home. And now you got to understand, I have 5 kids, and we've only lived in homes this whole time. And so I really, inside, I knew it was going to be a motor home, but I wasn't going to say that. I told my wife, maybe this, maybe that. And as soon as I said that, she lit up. And she says, "Wow, you think we could all travel in a motor home?" And I said, I said, "I don't know. What do you think?" She says, "I don't know. I never thought." She says, "Wow, I don't know." You know what she started doing? She started researching it online. She got all the magazines from dealers. She was researching this, finding ladies with 11 kids traveling in large diesel pushers all around the country, homeschooling their kids. We were already homeschooling our children. And my wife then became more excited about it even than me. And I was like, whoa. And so we just began to seek the Lord. And after much prayer, planning, preparation, much confirmation, believe me, I have so many scriptures in my journal that God gave us both, and so much confirmation. And so we resigned from our church in, our last Sunday was the last Sunday of April of last year. We had sold all of our belongings with 2 services lined up. We resigned from our church. We were living in a church parsonage, so we sold all of our belongings. We purchased a motorhome by the grace of God. That was a miracle in and of itself. I don't know how, it just, God worked it out. And I'll just say, we didn't have the money to buy that thing. Motorhomes, you got to have a lot of money down. And God worked that out in a phenomenal way. And I'm not in a huge amount of debt, and the loan isn't a huge loan. It's not a long-term loan. It just blows my mind. And so, we launched out. And, you know, I go to a lot of churches and speak, and people talk to my wife in the nursery, and they're like, "So wait a minute, you don't have a house? You just live in the motor home?" And so she said, "I don't think people realize. I think most people think we have a house and we travel for fun. But the motorhome is our house, and we love it. And we have made it work, and it has had its challenges. We've been doing this for 8 months. It has had its challenges, and they've been big challenges, but the Lord is with us. He's going to continue to be with us. And as long as my wife, myself, and the kids are on board, listen, if you got love in your home, God's called you to do it, you can make anything work. I've been in other countries. I've seen people live in all kinds of conditions. We've got it made in that nice motorhome. And so, but what happened was, when we began to go out, the Lord told me, it wasn't like we were just going on some adventure. We just wanted to go try something new. Maybe we'll do it for a little bit, and if it doesn't work, I'll pastor another church. No, the Lord gave us specific plans, and we've been following this through, and it's not been easy, because everything doesn't look like you think it'll look. It doesn't work the way you think it'll work when you do just what God tells you to do. But the Lord told me something, and He told me very specifically that there is a battle for America like there has never been before. There is a battle, and I'm not talking about I'm in a battle, my family's in a battle. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. We are in a battle like we have never been. The enemy has always been territorial. He's territorial now. He's always been on the move and always attacking. We know the Bible says He seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But the Lord says that I have come life that you might have it more abundantly. And so, listen, we know the enemy's schemes. We know his plans, that he's very territorial, and he's out to take out families, to take out churches, to take out marriages, to take out men of God. Listen, if the enemy can have access to you and cause you to miss the mark and to fall away from your walk with God, he now has greater access to your wife, he has greater access to your children, and to your whole territory. Listen, when I talk about territory, I'm talking about your sphere of influence. Every man in this room has territory. It's your sphere of influence. It's the people that are around you on a daily basis. It's your family. It's your workplace. It's your community. It's the people's lives that you speak into. It's the people that know you, that have been watching you, that see how you live. And so some of us, we all have different areas of territory that the Lord is using us to make a difference. But, I want to share with you some great things that the Lord has shown me and helped me in my walk to increase territory as we go. Because I know the enemy is out to destroy, but the Lord is raising all of us up. Listen, if you will answer the call of God, every man in this room, there is a call from God for you, and it doesn't have to be to sell everything and go be crazy and live in a motor home. You don't have have to be location independent and try something new. It can be in the same spot for 40 or 50 years, but God can give you greater influence than you ever imagined right where you are right now, or it may be going out and going abroad. Location is not the key thing. It's, are you ready for God to do something great in you? And listen, I think it all begins to start when we begin to pray and ask God to do something in us. You know, there's a lot of things the Lord wants to do. If we're not spending time with Him, if we're not in prayer with Him, I believe we're missing out on a great part of what God's plan is for us as men, for us and for our wives, for our children, for our communities. And the Lord has a great plan, and we know that. But Lord, what do we do next? As a man, I've wondered that often, and I want to be content in where I'm at. As Paul said, he learned to be content no matter what state he was in. Right now, I'm learning to be content in Indiana when it's cold. I know he's not talking about physical state, but listen, living in Indiana, we have traveled. We've been to Colorado. I come back from Colorado. We've been into different states preaching, but we had a lot of plans to be out of here for the winter, and the doors closed. And my wife said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know what we're going to do. And she's very nice and gentle and loving, but she was like, I thought you had a plan. How many of you know plans change? Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's not so good, but plans change. And so we had some things happen. We had some services that canceled. I had three of them that canceled all in a row. And when those services canceled, I did not know what to do financially. I did not know what to do at all. And we hit a wall just a couple months ago. We hit an absolute wall. And we pressed through, we prayed through, and God has opened many doors. And today we head to Alabama. So we get to leave Indiana. Woo! Today we, after this, I speak at a service tonight in southern Indiana, and we head to Mobile, Alabama. And a pastor there has opened doors in Mississippi and in South Florida. So I thank the Lord for that. But I want to dive into these three things real quick that I hope will encourage you, and they help me. I'll share my story in with these and what it looks like, what we're doing, how do I really know it's God and not just a brain fart, you know, not just something I wanted to do and I made it happen and I say it was God, right? But there's a great passage. I know all of you are familiar with this. There was a great book wrote on it about the prayer of Jabez. But 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Listen, if you and I want to gain more territory, have a greater sphere of influence and reaching people for the gospel and making a real difference where we're at, it's got to start with praying and asking the Lord for increase. There's nothing wrong with asking God for increase. This prayer right here, Jabez, it says, was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God, the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Listen, when we pray and ask God to enlarge our territory, we're praying and asking God to increase, to enlarge the range of our efforts for influencing and building the kingdom of God. I was not placed upon this earth to build my kingdom. I was not here to just do something I want to do, although I'm glad that I love doing what I'm doing, and I love the call of God. But listen, all of us are called here to not build our own kingdom, but to be kingdom builders and to be building the kingdom of God. And when you begin to pray like this, and you begin to ask God to increase and to enlarge your territory, I'm going to tell you something, God's going to begin to do it. I remember my grandfather telling me when the Prayer of Jabez book came out, and it was being sold, and people, it was like they'd never heard about it. How many of you know there's nothing new under the sun? My grandfather said, I'm glad that it's so popular, and he's making a lot of money off of it, but I remember preaching that before, and there was ever a book about it. It was in the good book. You know why? It's a prayer that many people looked at and said, well, it's a selfish prayer because it's too much about me, me, me. Oh, bless me. Do this for me. And we don't need to be that way. Listen, this is a prayer that we can all pray because in this prayer, he has a desire for God to use him to be a blessing to others. It was not a selfish prayer of him just wanting a blessing, him just wanting to have more and increase for himself, but he wanted to go from being someone that caused pain to being someone who was a blessing to others. How many of you want to be a blessing to everybody around you? You want to make more than a noise. You want to make a difference where you're at, in your life, in your family, in your workplace. When you begin to pray and ask God to increase you and to enlarge your territory, you better get ready because God is going to begin to do it. I remember when I first started praying this, I was driving from LaFountain, Indiana. I was a newlywed. We had our first apartment. And I would drive over to Amboy, and I would meet my uncle, and then I would go do flooring with him. And I was part-time at a church where my dad pastored and part-time doing flooring. And I did that for years, but I began to pray that every morning. And I would pray, Lord, bless me. But that part when I would get to it about enlarge my territory, everything in me felt God. That was where I seemed to pray more than anything. Lord, I want to do more for you. Not to just be something, not to be noticed, but Lord, I've got one life to live. I want to reach as many as I can with the gospel, so God, use me for your glory. But you know what? God has to take us through a lot of stuff all through life to prepare us, to get us ready for what he has. And God began to open my eyes, and things began to change when I began to pray that from my heart, and I meant it with all of my heart. My brother-in-law, I began to work with him, Rob Little. And I was working with him, and I could see God enlarging the territory. And then I began to do flooring on my own and went to pastor our first church, and we could see that we were reaching more and more people with the gospel. And it's all I wanted to do was tell people about Christ. I've always been an evangelistic pastor because I knew that God called me to go and preach the good news and that I would see people saved. And so as I pastor, I mean, sometimes I'm not real good at administration or anything else, but I'm telling you, one thing I do have is a heart for the lost. And it's something that every one of us in this room can have, because we have lost people all around us. We have people that need to know about Jesus Christ. And what do we do? Man, what do we do? I don't know what you do, but you know what I do? I find my heart being broken a lot of times for the lost. And so I pray, Lord, increase, Lord, enlarge my territory that I can reach more people with the gospel, that I can see more people come to know you. It's my heart's desire. It has been since I was very young. And so we've seen this happening, and God began to increase and enlarge. But as I began to pray and pray that God would do this, I got to a place in 2015 where I wasn't praying it anymore. I was just excited and happy, and all I wanted to do was just build the church. I'm not saying it's wrong. Don't get me wrong. I had lost why I wanted to do what I was doing. The focus went from reaching the lost and even discipling people to just being comfortable. Everything was debt-free, but now what could we do? More this, more that, more this. And things had changed in me. And when the Lord just came to me and let me know, wait a minute, what I called you to do, now it's time. And I said, okay, Lord, here I am. What do I do? How do I do this thing? We begin to pray. We begin to prepare. But my heart was burning for God to. I wanted to reach more people. I wanted to tell more about the Lord. And listen, I want my children, my family, to know more about Christ. You know what Psalms 115 and 14 says? It says, may the Lord give you increase, you and your children. I didn't want my kids just to, just to hear about what could be done. I want them to be a part of what God is doing. I want to be a part of seeing God do great things. You know, some of the things that keep me going and that burn in me is the mighty moves of God I saw when I was a kid. When I traveled with my grandfather and he would go and he would preach and I would see people, devils cast out of people, see people healed. But the greatest thing was to see people give their lives to Christ for the first time. The things that I remember seeing in my dad's pastorate when God was moving and watching my dad when there were down times and people would be leaving the church and it'd be difficult in seasons when the church was growing and it was joyful and growing up in church and realizing that God is with us through it all and all I want is Jesus and all I want is to tell other people about him regardless of what we go through in life, because we all go through stuff. But Lord, increase our territory. Lord, increase our sphere of influence with the people around us. Not just that we're around them, but Lord, give us opportunities. Give us ways to minister. Give us unique opportunities and ways to reach the lost and encourage the body of Christ to be alive and on fire for God. And that's what was burning in me, and it still burns in me all the time. It burns in me now. And so, you know, we just kept praying and praying and seeking the Lord. And we had plans, and the plan is a good thing. We had we were putting together, how could we do this financially? What's going to take miracles? We had all kinds of plans. When do we talk to the church? When do we do this? When do we do that? The Lord began to help us with that plan and show us scripture. And we had scriptures for everything we were doing. And at one point, the Lord told me in my prayer time, and I was alone in the bedroom, and I said, Lord, I just don't know, where do I start? We're going to be location independent if this thing works. If we can even get a motor home, but where do I start? And I know I had two services. Lord, where do you want me to? I don't want to just be everywhere and not have somewhere be like a home base. And as clear as anything, the Lord just led me in my heart to the scripture in the book of Acts, where they go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it was just as clear as anything, the Lord told me that Kokomo would be our Jerusalem. Not that I would come here, not that I would plant a church, not that I would pastor a church, but this would be our home base, and there was a reason that he wanted us here. But then we would go from here, and we would go along around the Indiana, and we would go to the United States, and even to the uttermost parts of the world. And God just began to burn that in me when I told my wife. She was good with it. She felt that it was the Lord. So we just knew that. And it worked practically as well. My brother has the old Petty's campground out here off of 1100. And he had said, you can come hook up here and stay anytime you need to with the motor home. There were some practical things to it too. But I was looking at the spiritual side. Lord, where do you want me to be? And it's like the Lord kind of brought me back home after being away for 13 years to this area. And we've been going out from here. But something awesome happened one day that let me know for sure I was doing what I was supposed to do. We were still at the church in Edinburgh, and I walked in down the hall, walked into the sanctuary. And when I walked into the sanctuary, I felt the presence of the Lord. Like, I'm just going to be honest, I never felt God's presence that strong in my entire life. I know that the presence of the Lord is universal and he's everywhere. But how many of you know, how many of you like that song, when he walks into the room, everything changes? Sometimes his presence is stronger. Sometimes he manifests and shows up in a way that just totally rocks you to the core. I walked in that sanctuary, and I could feel it was just his presence was all around me, the glory of the Lord. I laid down all my paperwork that I was taking to the office. I would just went up to the altar. I sat. I kneeled. I laid down on the floor. No posture was good enough. I was weeping, and I just could feel God so strong. And so I sat on the steps. I've taken off my shoes maybe twice in my life in a service in Bible college where I felt the Lord was present, and so I'd take off my shoes. Maybe other people were doing it, or I would do it out of just respect or wanting God to do something. God's never told me to take off my shoes ever in my life. But when I sat there, these are the shoes that I was wearing, not that that matters, but I was sitting there, and the Lord said, take off your shoes. So I took them off. I slid them out in front of me. And I just know that if the Lord's going to tell you to take off your shoes, then there's a message that's coming, or why did I take them off? Get ready to speak. So I took off my shoes. I went and I sat on the front row, and I said, Lord, I will not put on my shoes until you tell me what I'm supposed to do next. And the most awesome thing happened, because after some time, the Lord said, go give me your shoes. And I held them up, and this is what the Lord spoke to my spirit. He said, when you put on these shoes, you're going to go where I tell you to go, say what I tell you to say, and I'm going to provide for you. I put on my shoes. I went home. I told my wife. She was just ecstatic. And I got a call the next day from an uncle that does ministry in Haiti. He oversees churches and does mission work. I had been there 7 years ago, but not since. He said, how soon can you go with me to Haiti? I said, you just tell me when, and I'm going. He said, you probably need to talk to your board and get dates, won't you? I said, nope. You tell me and I'm going. Because God had just told me, you're going to go where I tell you to go. You know what else the Lord said? I'm going to tell you what to say, and I'm going to provide for you. And you know what he said next on the phone? My uncle has no clue about what had just happened the day before. He says, somebody come up to me in one of the churches, and they said, you're getting ready to take a trip, and you're going to take somebody with you, but here's the money to pay the whole trip. My uncle didn't even know what trip he was taking or who he was taking. But then a pastor from Haiti called and said, we remember you brought that young guy, your nephews, like 7 years ago. We'd like for him to come back. We want him to reach out to Haiti with his evangelistic services and to talk to all of us pastors. The next day, woo! And so I was like, yes, here we go. My wife says, you're going to think I'm crazy. This is like a week later. She says, I feel like I'm supposed to go. But she said, if you don't think it's right, or you say, no, I won't do it. Because, I mean, we got five kids. At that time, we have a one-year-old. And my wife says, I'm afraid to go. I said, why? She said, I don't want to leave all the babies, and I don't want to look like a bad mom. I said, well, if you're hearing from God, you quit. Don't worry about it. Anybody says. God will provide it. But you let me know if you really think it's God. The next Sunday, I stood at the pulpit, and I said, you know, my trip is paid for. I'm going to Haiti. My wife feels like she's supposed to go. There was a young couple on the way to church that morning. They talked about it. And on the way there, they said, what are we going to do with this $1,200? Do we put it in youth ministry, the music ministry? Where do we put this $1,200? I stood up there and I said, I need $1,200 for my wife to go to Haiti. And so if the Lord puts it upon your heart to help, that's great. But God's going to cover it, and she's going to go. We were both nervous, thinking the congregation would think you guys are out of your minds, leaving five kids with family and going to a third world country to preach. There's plenty of people doing that. You know what? That couple looked at one another and said, we know what the $1,200 is for. a trip was paid for. We went to Haiti. We come back and we begin to launch out, and God began to open doors. Listen, I took on a part-time job before we launched out, and I took on this part-time job to prepare, because not only do we need to pray, but we need to prepare. And so I started doing this, and I'm out there working with a company that does testing for Cummins engines, and I'm driving around this equipment just testing, and I'm out there. All of a sudden I realize God's burning this message in me about increasing territory, and I realize there's a whole group of people that I've not, I mean, God's put me here not to make money, but to reach them for His glory. And so I'm driving around, and I start shooting prayers at other workers. They don't know it. I'm like pointing at a guy, and I'm waving at him. They wave back in their machine, and I'm saying, here's what I pray: crippling conviction. Lord, convict them in such a way they can't even stand it anymore. Things begin to happen in that work environment, and one day I'm driving around, and I'm praying over these scriptures, and the Lord begins to burn in me, and I said, Lord, give me ground here. While I'm here, before I go anywhere else, I want you to use me while I'm here. My phone rang, and it was my boss inside the office. He said, Matt, there's some stuff going on. We're going through a lawsuit right now. There's a big mess, and he says, all I want you to do is come in and pray with all the office personnel. He said, I've asked the president. She said, it's okay that you come in. I told her I had led this guy to Christ years ago, baptized him, and that's how I got the job. I went into the office, and here's all the office personnel in there, and he says, well, this is my pastor. You want to say anything before you pray? Well, that's the wrong thing to say, because I have a tendency to be long-winded. I apologize right now. Let's notice that clock. I'll wrap this thing up. And so I just started talking to him about the gospel, and I said, let's pray. And we began to pray, and I prayed with my eyes open, and I saw the mechanic take off his hat. I saw tears begin to run down faces. I could feel the presence of God filling that office. And here's all these people, and I don't know if there's only me and one other Christian in that room. And we got done, and everything in me wanted to share the plan of salvation. The Holy Spirit said, you've done your part, leave. You've done your part, leave. So you know what I did? I said, well, I did what you asked me to do. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I walked right out the door. Oh, that was the hardest thing, because I wanted to see somebody saved that day. Boss called me out to the machine. He said, hey, what are you doing, man? You left me here hanging dry. He said, nobody knew what to do. We're all standing around the office. He said, but something is changing in this office. It was about an hour after I was there. He said, the atmosphere in this office is different. You know what people begin to do? He began to tell all the employees, if you need prayer, go see him. If they were having marital problems, he'd say, let you go pray with him. He would give me opportunities, and you know what? I thought people would get mad. It didn't happen. I was only there a short time, but listen, wherever you are, you're there to make a difference. Listen, God has placed you where you are to make a difference, and you need to start preparing yourself. The Bible says in 1 Peter, prepare your mind for action. You've got to begin to think about it. Say, Lord, how can I reach the lost? Give me opportunities, Lord God. And you need to, have self-control, self-discipline in your life. The things that are coming out of your mouth, the things that you're thinking about, the actions that you're living out, because people are watching us as men of God. They're watching how we react to situations. They're watching, they're listening to what comes out of our mouths. They know how we think because the way we talk. And so listen, we've got to be self-controlled. We've got to be preparing ourselves, because God is going to give us more. He's going to increase your family. He's going to increase your business. And why do I say this? Am I just talking about all the things we hope for? Listen, I'm talking about influence for the kingdom of God. And however that looks, that's great. But it's increased through God. And God will do it. He'll do great things, amazing things. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great things that you don't even know. God's waiting for some men to call out. And then to call out to God and say, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. Lord, do in me what you want to do in me. But Lord, I know you put me where I am to make a difference. That in your workplace, people are going to begin to be saved. They're going to begin to come to know Christ. That in your environment, you say, I don't even know what to do. Start inviting them to church with you. Invite them to come to huddle, whatever. But I'm telling you, start praying. Start interceding for the lost. If every man in this room would have at least 3 men that are lost, that you start praying for their salvation, I'm telling you, you're going to see them come to know Christ. My wife and I have done this for years, and everywhere we've been, we always keep 3 men, and she has 3 women. And when we resigned from Edinburgh, do you know, I want to tell you something, the 3 men on my list were in my office every Sunday morning for discipleship, and the 3 women on her list were in another office every Sunday morning for discipleship. And we've done that all through ministry, because if you pray for the lost, God's going to soften their heart. God's going to give you increase in your territory. So you're going to say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to prepare my heart. But then you got to proceed. You got to go for it. And so I'm going to close with this, because
There's something we're doing that's real crazy. There's a snow cone on the bottom of your paper. I said, okay, Lord. You want me to go out, I'll do it. And Lord, if you want me to just go from church to church and live from offering to offering, I'll do it, but I'm not going to drum up money. I'm not going to go somewhere for an offering. So I said, Lord, I'm young, I got a sharp mind, you can use me. So give me an inventive idea. I started having a craving for snow cones, shaved ice, like a pregnant woman for pickles. I didn't know what it was, but I couldn't get away from it. So I wanted to go get them, and one day I said to my wife and kids on a Saturday, let's go to Columbus. Went to Columbus, Indiana. Let's get some snow cones. I told the kids, get whatever size you want. Normally, if I'm going to pay $15 for a bunch of ice and flavor, I'd have been like, that's the dumbest thing I ever did. But I'm watching that guy make it, pour on the syrup, and I got my debit card. When I handed it to that guy, the Lord said, this is how you supplement your income. I got to the van. I said, hey, guess what? I think we're going to sell snow cones. My wife laughed. So we're going to resign to church. We're going to buy a motor home. We're going to go trust God, and we're going to sell shaved ice snow cones. That's not what she said, but I think that's what she thought. She said, okay. I looked in front of me. I said, look, there's a little kiosk. I bet they take that to fairs and stuff. She said, yeah, probably. We went back. We began to plan. We began to prepare. God began to open doors. Our first event, guess what we realized? We thought it was a supplement income, but God showed us is because there's all kinds of lost people at these events that need Christ. And you know what I've noticed more than anything? It's not just the people that are walking through the fairs. We went to Friendship, Indiana. Not just the people that are at the flea markets walking around. You know, at every fair, churches have booths. They do. They should. It's great. I'm all for it. But you know who isn't getting reached much? Is the Midway group. It's the big Midway with all of the rides, and they travel from place to place and set up and tear down. And those people work Saturdays. They work Sundays. They work around the clock. And God put us right smack dab in the middle of one of those midways called Poor Jack Amusement. We traveled with them last year, and guess what? One just called us in Florida. They do the Ohio State Fair. They do places all over Florida. They start next week, but we're not starting with them next week. But Lord willing, we're just saying, we're willing to do it. We're going to take our trailer, and we're going to sell shaved ice, but I'm telling you what I know it means to me. Not that I'm going to sell ice and make a little bit of money, but that I'm going to get to share the gospel with those midway workers. I began to have guys that would sit out front of our motor home. One old guy sat there. I say old, I apologize. He was in his 60s. I'm 39, so that is a little old to me. I do apologize. But he sat there. Not really, I don't care. We sat there, and he says, you're going to have to do more than sell shaved ice if you want to keep driving this thing around and support your wife and kids. And I said, I just do this to help out. I said, I actually do the work of an evangelist. You got to understand, there's four grown men by that motorhome right there, and this old guy's talking to me, and not a one of them had even knew what an evangelist was. Not a clue. I said, well, I've pastored for a while. And he, oh, you're a traveling preacher. I said, yep, I don't care what you call me. Call me what you want. I don't even care. I don't care about it. Titles mean a lot, and they're great. They're in the Bible. They're important, but I don't care what the lost calls me or sees me as. And so you know what? I just began to share, and that guy sat there. You know what had happened while we were talking? There was guys over here with a drug deal right behind my RV. He said, why would you have your kids in that environment? That's a whole other thing. I could talk about that way too long. We're very cautious. We're a homeschool family. Believe me, we're cautious. But you know what? That guy just starts weeping. He said, I knew there's something different about you and your family. The workers around that area say, we know there's something different about you and your family. And they ask me, and I get to tell them. I have guys come and sit and drink a beer while I'm doing shaved ice on the break where customers can't see. And when there's no customers, they start asking me questions, and the questions get deeper and deeper and deeper. So, man, I feel like, hey, thank you, Jesus. Shaved ice is just another opportunity to tell somebody about Christ. Amen? Listen, God is going to use you. You got to be willing to do whatever God asks you to do. Don't be afraid to ask God for some inventive ideas. Don't be afraid to dream outside the box. Man, it takes dreaming. It takes having some goals. A lot of people, they don't ever see a dream come about because they don't set any goals. And they don't ever see the goals come about because they're afraid to plan. If you'll start having some goals and start planning, start dreaming big and going out, I'm just trusting God, asking God to increase you. Man, I'm going to tell you what, you start praying this way over your wife, over your kids, you're going to see a whole new move of God in your own house. You're the head of your house. You're leaders in this community. And you're doing a good job. I ain't coming to tell you you're not doing enough. You got to do more. I'm telling you, if you just have a greater heart for God and say, God, use me more. Do in me what you want to do in me. It's not about your ability. It's about your expandability. If you're willing to say, God, here I am. Take me and work through me. He'll work through you because you're a willing, yielded vessel. Amen. I love you guys. Lord bless you. Thank you for this time. I want to ask you real quick if there's anyone in here that you have not given your life to Christ. Maybe you're invited today. Maybe you've been coming for a while, but you've never truly been born again. You haven't asked Jesus to forgive you. But today something has sparked, and you're realizing, wait a minute, I want God to use me. I want to be used by God. I want to live for God. I don't want to carry the weight of my sin anymore. I don't want to carry the shame and the guilt. I want to be forgiven. I want to live for this awesome God that speaks to his people. I want to live for this awesome God that does great things through his people. And yes, there's trials and tribulations. The Bible says all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. But you say, I don't care about being persecuted. I want to live for the living God. If that's you right now and you say, I want to know God. I want to give him my whole life and I want to live for him with everything that I got. I admit that I'm lost in my sin, but I want Christ and I want his forgiveness. I believe he died on the cross for me and that he'll forgive me today. And I will leave here and I will not be ashamed, but I will confess that he is my Lord, that he is my God, and he is my commander-in-chief, and he's the one I'm going to live for. Listen, if that's you right now, why don't you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to give my life completely to the Lord. I want to live for him all the days of my life. I'm giving you my life. Even as you raise your hand right now, you know what you're doing? You're saying, God, here I am. See my hand. Lord, I give you my life. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, for these men that have raised their hand, Lord Jesus, I thank you for them right now. And it's as simple as you asking Christ to forgive you of your sins. Admitting that you are a sinner, Lord, thank you. That, Lord, you paid the price on the cross of Calvary that we could be forgiven of all of our sins and have new life. Lord, thank you that you did it. And so, Lord, I thank you that right now that you have forgiven these men of their sins. That, Lord Jesus, their sins are as far as the east is from the west, and you no longer remember them. And so as you put your faith and your trust in Christ and you choose to live for him, you now have new life. Your old life has passed away. All things are new. And Lord, we thank you right now for the forgiveness of sins. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your power. Lord, I pray for these men that, Lord, you give them inventive ideas that, Lord, they wouldn't even be able to sleep at night because, Lord, you'd wake them up and you'd be speaking to them in the night watch. That, Lord, you'd show them the great field that's in front of them in their workplace and how you're going to expand, Lord Jesus, and work and increase and enlarge their territory. We thank you for it, Lord. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Our cards are there with my beautiful family on the table with some information. If you want those, you can have them. Thank you, and Lord bless you.